Gold's been on fire lately. It's grabbing headlines everywhere. And I got to ask you the obvious. What's going on here? Is this thing, does it still have legs? Or is it running out of steam? Where are things right now?
Well, they're taking down 2 tons per week. That's, you know, 100. That's 104 tons a year. That's like as big, if not bigger, than China. Like, this surge in gold demand is driving price discovery. And it's going to continue because, like in any banana republic over time, what consumers do, they get paid, then they buy real assets, right? You know, I go to conferences, everyone's 80 years old, waiting for this moment in time that never seems to happen. You know, based off, you know, the fundamental supply and demand pushed by the central banks and, you know, in crypto coming to the game, you know, it's creating significant demand for gold. And you know, if people have a choice whether to store their value in gold or store their value in dollars, the choice is easy. And the reason why it's easy is because, you know, you have Trump and Bessent. You know, they said they're going to lower interest rates to 1%, right? So you're not going to get any yield on your money. Moran on the Fed wrote the Mar-a-Lago Accord that guarantees that that dollar devaluation becomes policy.
Good day. We have a special guest, Garrett Goggin from the Golden Portfolio. How are you?
I'm great, Steve. How are you doing today?
Not bad at all. Garrett, good to have you on our show. Gold's been on fire lately. It's grabbing headlines everywhere. And I got to ask you the obvious. What's going on here? Is this thing, does it still have legs? Or is it running out of steam? Where are things right now?
Yeah, it's getting pretty wild, you know. Today, gold's broken out above $4,000 an ounce. Silver, you know, the futures are spots trading at 49. The futures are lagging a little bit, but it's close to 50. These big number breakouts, like once you break out above the big number, it usually continues higher, like an explosion higher above this big number. I've been fighting it with myself because if you look at gold and silver on a technical basis, silver value, RSI, highest it's ever been, distance from 200-day moving average, 2-year moving average, highest it's ever been. You look back over previous periods, and when it's been this high, it's been peak, 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 peak. But as I was discussing, you know, just yesterday, like nominal prices almost don't even matter at this point. Right? Because what's going on in gold and silver is different from previous periods because it's being supported by fundamental demand. World central banks are buying tons of gold. They're not buying treasuries. It's fact. No. Foreign bank gold holdings have increased to like 30% of overall holdings, and treasuries have dropped down to 25%. Like these foreign trade partners, they're buying gold. They're not buying treasuries. They ain't coming back. We're talking about China. We're talking about Russia. We're talking about Brazil and India and, you know, all the BRICS. And then the second thing is, so, you know, this massive demand is unlocking true price discovery for gold for the first time in 50 years. And the second thing is in the U.S., you know, they just passed a Genius Act. They're officially adopting crypto, embracing stable coins. You know, I see this as Pandora's box because, you know, it's opening the door. I see it as a Trojan horse to gold because, you know, one of the largest stable coin managers is Tether, right? Tether's got a hit over, you know, the past, whatever, 10, 20 years. Oh, it's a Chinese company. You know, you can't track the money. It's opaque. They've just come out with a U.S. dollar, USDT, I believe. It's U.S. regulated. Like, it's more, you can log in, you can check out their website and see their holdings on a daily basis. Like, this is more transparent than a U.S. money market. And then what's going on is Tether U.S. dollar, which is $200 billion in it. The 5% of that is backed by gold. They've got Tether Gold that's got an AUM of $2 billion. They're buying 100% of gold. And then you have Tether Corporate on top of that that manages these stable coins. They're buying gold with all their profits. Tether has their own vault in Switzerland. It's outside LBMA, it's outside COMEX, it's outside HSBC and JP Morgan. And they're taking down their own gold. They're taking down 2 tons per week. That's, 100, that's 104 tons a year. That's like as big, if not bigger, than China. Like, this surge in gold demand is driving price discovery, and it's going to continue because, like in any banana republic, over time, what consumers do, they get paid, then they buy real assets, right? Like, you go shopping, you go buy something, you go buy gold, you go buy Bitcoin, you go buy a real asset. This is what's going to happen in the United States when the US embraces crypto stable coins, because I envision, like, in a few months, you're going to log in to JP Morgan, Chase, or Bank of America, and you're going to have a US dollar checking account. You're going to have a one click swap to USDT Tether, where you can get a 5% interest rate, or Tether Gold. And once you're in crypto, it stays in crypto. It doesn't necessarily come back. So US investors and consumers, they've never had a choice of where to save their money before, right? You got a checking account, it's dollars. Like, there's no alternatives. There's alternatives now. And gold has been the ultimate store of value for 1,000 years, paired with crypto technology, is unlocking tremendous demand, and it's unlocking gold's role as the ultimate monetary standard, as a store of value, and as a means of transaction. Because previously, gold's been hard to transact in, right? You got to go to the dealer, you haggle with the dealer. Should I buy coin? Should I buy bars? All this bullshit. And then you got to hold it in your house or somewhere. You got to keep it safe. You're afraid you're going to get stolen. And then when you want to sell it, you got to go back to the dealer, and you get shaved a couple percentage points. You basically get ripped off. And you've never been able to use it as a means of exchange, right? Because, like, what, I owe you $20. What am I going to do? Shave off like part of my gold bar and be like, no. But this alignment with crypto, you're going to be able to use Tether Gold for payments. I owe you $200, and I'll log in, and it's worth 0.000125 of a tether. That's equal to an ounce of gold, and it's bang bang. So people are going to be saving in gold, and people are going to be using gold as a medium of exchange. And the alignment of crypto and gold has created the world's ultimate currency that is, much better than the US dollar, that everyone sees as worthless paper at this point.
Toilet paper. So, do you see this crypto technology and gold pairing so closely where it makes the dollar irrelevant in the near future? Are we talking de-dollarization right around the corner, or what are we talking about?
Yeah, we're there. We're there. Like, this is I go to conferences, everyone's 80 years old, waiting for this moment in time that never seems to happen. Based off, the fundamental supply and demand pushed by the central banks, and in crypto come into the game, it's creating significant demand for gold. And if people have a choice whether to store their value in gold or store their value in dollars, the choice is easy. And the reason why it's easy is because, you have Trump and Bessent. They said they're going to lower interest rates to 1%, right? So you're not going to get any yield on your money. Moran on the Fed wrote the Mar-a-Lago Accord that guarantees that that dollar devaluation becomes policy. So rates are going to be 1%. They're devaluing the dollar. You can't own long bonds right now. They're pushing everyone into real assets. And, like, I like Trump personally. My son dressed up as Trump, for Halloween and stuff like this. I support him. But Trump's a businessman. All he cares about is profit and loss. And what's going to happen is everyone in the United States is going to be a millionaire, right, on paper. But a bottle of Coke's going to cost $20. Because gold is the monetary barometer, the canary in the coal mine for monetary devaluation. And we've never seen anything like this before. And then Japan just 2 days ago came out with a massive stimulus program. And it's basically MMT. They're spending. Debt doesn't matter because debt produces growth. Modern monetary theory in the US is embracing this too. And Trump said we need to grow out of it. And the only way you can grow out of it is by, pumping the system full of debt, full of dollars, and devaluing the dollar. making the debt easier to pay back. It's the writing's on the wall. Oh, and
So
I'm sorry,
the end of
the last thing, the US could stop this rise to real assets any minute. They would have to raise rates to like 10%, 8% to 10%. They can't do it, you know, because if they raise rates to 8 to 10%, US is gonzo. Because of the $37 trillion of debt outstanding, the interest payments on that would be a ridiculous amount of money that the US can never support. So they're caught in a corner and they're caught in a box.
Do you see this being a Bretton Woods 2.0, a drastic change, like the end of the Keynesian era, or do you see this as a gradual thing that people adopt and see that debt is unsustainable and the everyday man just runs to gold and just slowly becomes, the dollar slowly becomes irrelevant?
You know, there's always talk about a new monetary standard and a great reset, and you know, Bretton Woods basically it pegged everyone's currency versus the dollar, and then the dollar was free to trade on its own versus other currencies versus gold. But you know, that's a ridiculous standard, right? Because the denominator changes, you know. That's like, you know, what's a foot? It's 12 inches, and then a foot becomes 13 inches, 14 inches, 15 inches due to the monetary growth. That you need a stable standard of measure, and the dollar isn't it. And you know, to be honest with you, I'm not sure whether we're gonna have this great global reset, but we're having like this soft reset, and it's happening now. Just dollars are flowing. You know, out of the US, and it's going into hard assets. And, you know, every day we're seeing it. I see this continuing.
So what I hear you saying, besides that everyone's going to be a millionaire, which should scare the hell out of everybody, not comfort, but scare the hell out of everybody, is that the U.S. government and all governments really, they're printing money with the fiat currency, basically devaluing, but just buying with the printed money, hard assets and golds for central banks. This seems to relate with the Cantillon effect that you talk about, where the rich get richer. Can you tell us what that is and why money printing affects and how it affects the rich, as well as how it affects the everyday people?
Well, what happens is, you know, as money's printed, asset prices go up. You know, so the Dow Jones could rise to $100,000. But, you know, like I said, a bottle of Coke's going to cost whatever, $20, $100. So the people that own the assets, you know, are going to become richer and richer on paper. And that's the top 1%, 1.5%. The other 98, 99% of us are going to fall behind. You know, I have three kids. We go to Costco. Like our bill at Costco has gone up, you know, 3x over the past 2 years. So, you know, the people that are, you know, making wages, the people that don't own the assets are going to be you left behind.
Man, it's scary. So, for everyday investors, how can we protect ourselves? Is it smart to get into gold? Is it too late to get into gold? Or is that still the train that everyone needs to jump on?
There's a lot of things that I track. You know, it's tough timing the gold and silver market, but these bull markets end in an explosion higher of investor sentiment. This golden bull market will continue higher until the masses come. Like, as I always say, the masses aren't here yet. And institutional investors are being dragged, kicking and screaming into the precious metal start market, into the large caps, Newmont and Barrick. Because Newmont's printing so much free cash flow. I pinpointed Newmont back in March. I go, this stock, I track all these miners on a free cash flow to enterprise value. Newmont was trading at a 50% discount to its fair value based off free cash to enterprise value in March of this year. I'm like, this is a massive discount. Newmont, you know, has gone up 3x from here. And right now, it's only fairly valued. It's just climbed back to fair value. We haven't even seen the explosion where these things start selling at a premium. Prior bull markets ended at a 60% premium to fair value. This puts Newmont, you know, much higher, well over $100 per share based on the current gold price. And then, you know, if you look at the GLD ETF, It's an ETF. So every time money comes in, shares are created. Every time money comes out, shares are destroyed. It tracks investor flows. Shares outstanding tracks investor flows into this GLD ETF. Shares outstanding is only 353 mil. At the peak in 2020 and 2011, it was 450 mil. Like, there's no money coming into there. Little money is starting to creep into the sector. You look at the SLV ETF. At the peak in 2020, it had 729 shares, 729 million shares outstanding. Right now, it's only 545 million shares outstanding. When the top comes, we're going to see investors rush into the sector, push shares outstanding much higher than previous peaks. And we're not there yet. The other thing, the GDX ETF. GDX shares outstanding. That's making a low. That's been making like a 10-year low. Like, there's no money coming into the GDX ETF. Let me see if it upticked. It still has an uptick. It's 293 million shares outstanding, and it goes up to 500 million shares outstanding at previous peaks. The shares outstanding has declined from about 400 mil to 290 mil over the past year. Because there's no new money coming in, it's only investors taking gains that's decreasing the share count. But the investors are coming, and you can start seeing signs of that right now. So based off these metrics, like, we're only beginning, the run towards hard assets.
Where do you see gold and silver going by end of year, and when all this is said and done?
I don't know, I've been fighting with this, because I like probability and statistics. So 98% of the time when it reaches this level, it marks a top, 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 top. And, I'm willing to get out there and say this time is different, which is famous last words of death. Because every time you say that, it's a top, the market tanks down. But as where I'm at now, the dollar can go down, lose 50% of its value per year and never reach zero, right? Just like pure math, right? It'll go $1.50, 25, 12.5, 6.25. It never reaches zero. So the dollar has no bottom. So gold and silver prices have no top. Like, we're going to be adding zeros onto the end of gold and silver prices before this is over.
If that's not a motivation for everyone to move into gold and silver, I don't know what is.
And
So
like I said, the US government can stop this anytime. They raise rates to 8%, 10% to make it, feasible for people to want to invest in dollars or save in dollars. They can't do it. They gotta lower interest rates.
So do you think what's primarily driving the rush in gold? Is that the fear of interest rates? Is it the fear of maybe wars? Is it the government deciding not to operate anymore? Or is it the
No.
debt or general fear of what's going on? What's the primary
It's
mover?
dollar devaluation. It's Trump percent lowering rates to 1%, and Moran guaranteeing that the dollar is going to be worth less in a year. If somebody tells you an asset's going to be worth less in a year, you can't own it. You don't want to own it. So people are making choices with their money right now. It's like, do I want to have 100 grand in this checking account that's getting nothing? Or, with the availability of stable coins, put it in USDT that buys 5% of gold with all of its assets, or Tether gold. And that's where we are in the cycle. People are just making a conscious choice. It's not end of the world. It's not war. It's inflation and devaluation and money printing. It's the same old game.
Would you say you're more excited about gold, gold stocks? And then if you can tell us how you kind of rate, what's your way process to value and build your portfolio in terms of what you look for when you look for gold stocks and silver stocks?
I follow grade because grade is the only thing that moves a needle, because mining on a per tonnage basis is basically fixed cost. So if your cost fixed, the only way that you can increase profits is by increasing revenue, and the only way you can do that is through grade. You're basically mining more ounces per ton. I'm able to take drilling results. I focus on the trust, the Lassonde curve, the first one with exploration, the second one as they become financed. And I try to find value. And with one good or two good drill results, if they have one or two good, really good drill results, like the chances are they're going to keep drilling and they're going to keep finding more ore and the deposit's going to expand. So I'm able to take these drilling results. I'm able to build a resource estimate on top of it. And then I'm able to build an economic study based on comps from nearby mines to show like the true value of this deposit. And I look for miners that are trading at a significant discount from NAV to EV. It's basically, focus on the trough of the Lassonde curve and trying to find value there. And it's been doing great. My GPIV, my product, the introductory product, it only costs 189 per year. It's up 530% in less than 2 years. Yeah. And then, I focus on the cream of the crop, the world-class mining assets, right? Because, they are the best projects in the world. So as they develop and as they mine, they end up finding more ore. They end up like the five companies in my GPIV, they've done great, but almost every single one of these companies is basically doubling their economic study due to finding increased grades, increasing tonnage, they're increasing throughput. It's mind-boggling, like what's happening right now. And then a lot of these smaller developers, they've gone up 300%, 400%, but they're still trading at like an 85% discount to fair value based off the, price of gold, even $3,500 gold right now. Like they've gone up a lot, but they haven't closed that discount gap. And that's a measure of investor sentiment. When investors come into the sector, they're going to push these prices up. So market cap enterprise value is going to be closer to NAV, and we're not there yet. I've got there Rio 2, Alex Black built Rio Alto, Rio 1. It was Shahuindo and La Arena. Both of these were big open pits. They scaled whatever 2x, 3x. It was acquired in 2015 for 1.2 bill by Tahoe. Alex is doing it again. He's doing it again at Phoenix in the Phoenix in Chile, and it's beginning operation at 20,000 tons per day. It scales to 80,000 tons per day. Production is going to start in January. It's a big open pit oxide heap leach. It's basically run-of-the-mill ore, which means you just got to take a shovel and throw it on the heap leach, and there's no processing, and all you got to do is leach the ore out. And when a miner reaches first production, that's when it's worth the most. And that's why a lot of people do not like miners, because as a miner begins production, it starts deep, the reserves start dropping, so the equity value drops. So miners are worth the most at first production when they begin. And right now, Rio only trades for 500 mil, and Phoenix is worth like 2.5 bill. And like we're gonna see it. Production's beginning in January, so it'll get a re-rate then. And then when it releases the official production numbers in first quarter in April, then all the quants jump in. They're like, "Oh my God, look at the free cash flow, and it's undervalued." And then everyone jumps in. At that point. But like I'm an analyst, I know the probability of this occurring, and the probability is extremely high that it's going to achieve its goals. So I'm able to get in before the masses.
So, for people who are interested in learning more about gold and investing with you or learning about your services, if you can tell us about the Golden Portfolio and what would they be getting?
Yeah, so the Golden Portfolio, I started it. I've been a mining analyst for 15 years, worked with John Doody, gold stock analyst and Stansberry Research. And then we did a special royalty issue every year. And I kept on seeing all these acquisitions in the royalty sector. I'm like, God damn, what if you just bought royalties? Like, how would you have done? If you bought royalty, portfolio royalties since 2007, you'd be up 35,000%. That's like 35% a year CAGR. That's better than Buffett. Royalties are the best way to invest in the gold sector because they have fixed costs. When inflation pushes gold higher, it pushes costs higher as well. So when the gold price corrects, costs don't go down. So the margins for miners get compressed and the miners get crushed. Royalties hang in there. Royalties have like 99, 98% margins. So big deal. Their margins go from 98 to 97, based off the gold price. But the royalties are able to add accretive growth, along the way that, they don't dilute. Dilution is the scourge of the mining industry. And then they're run by limited management. They've got limited overhead. You can run a royalty company for three or four people. They have free exploration upside. They do NAV value estimate of the value of the life of mine. And then all that free exploration, when it goes beyond 10 years, 20 years, they get all that for free. And then, these NAV estimates that the royalties were using, they were built off analyst consensus. Analyst consensus is always like 20, 30% below spot. And then in future years, if gold price goes back down, like the royalty companies were ripping off the miners. They were buying, future free cash flow for a 25% discount. So they get that bump. And then all the big fish eat the small fish. Whenever there's a royalty company that has a good asset, it always gets bought out. Origin was my favorite one. Origin got bought out earlier this year, and then Sandstorm got bought out. Elemento Altus just bought EMX Royalties, and they're all members of my portfolio. We've had three or four acquisitions over the past year. One thing regarding Elemento is Tether invested like $250 million in Elemental because they know royalties are the best way to play the mining sector. They've got cost protection. Tether's not interested in the miners because of their costs and relatively low margins, but they love the royalties. So Tether got involved with Elemental, and now Elemental, when it does future deals, it just can reach out to Tether. It's like, hey, can we have a couple hundred mil instead of doing equity or instead of doing debt? They can just ask Tether. And Tether will give him the money because the chairman of Elemental's board is Juan Satori, who is the head of the business development for Tether. And I was in Beaver Creek, one of the big gold shows of the year, a couple of weeks ago. And Fred, the CEO of Elemental, he's like, hey, you got to meet this guy. You got to meet Juan, the CEO of Tether. This is why I'm on this crypto trip. And Juan told me, he goes, yeah, we're buying 2 tons of gold per week. And my mind was blown. And he also told me, he goes, listen, Tether Gold is going to be bigger than Tether Dollar. Tether Dollar's got 200 bill. Tether Gold has got 2 bill. Why? Because crypto holders, they don't want to own dollars, even if they're getting 5% or 10%. That's why crypto, that's why Bitcoin was created, to get out of the dollar. They don't want dollars. They want gold. So that's why I see crypto as, gold's Trojan horse. All this money is going to be coming from crypto, like into gold. So that's the royalties. And then I have my GP10X, which are smaller miners, explorers and developers in the trough of the Lassonde curve. That thing's done great. It's beating all the indices. I've some of my recommendations up, 800, 900% in less than 2 years. And the value's still there. Like, these stocks are not overpriced. And then my introductory product is the GPIV. That's up 500%, 530% in less than 2 years. And they're still undervalued. That lot, like, I don't know, a lot of people sign up and they're like, oh my God, they're so high. How can you buy them? They've had a great run. And it's like, they're still undervalued by 85%. I'm like, would you rather the portfolio be down by 80% over the past couple of years? You know what I mean? I stick with my leaders because, with every portfolio, your top 5% of holdings make up like 95% of your portfolio gains. It's only one or two that really become home runs. So I stick with my winners, and I avoid my losers, and I avoid the ones that dilute.
So grade, look out for the ones that dilute, go with royalties. Is there any other tips you can give for investors that are looking to get into gold? Maybe the beginning gold investor who wants a tip of, hey, like, I want to avoid the stuff that people seem to do wrong. I mean, you've been doing this for years. You've been watching. This certainly feels different, but we've been saying that for a while. So what can people do differently? Avoid the mistakes that people commonly make, and what tips can you give them in terms of where to invest in gold?
One of the things that I pull up first is the shares outstanding chart. I have Bloomberg, so I'm lucky. It's easy. You just go shares outstanding. And if you see shares outstanding go from 100 mil to 200 mil to 300 mil in 2 years, and there's no value being created, like, avoid it like the plague. Like, do not invest in it. And then also, there's a lot of heavily promoted stories out there on Twitter, on YouTube, a lot of PR stuff out there. Like, avoid those companies. Like, good companies don't have to pay for exposure. Bad companies do. So, and a lot of these bad companies, they're paying for exposure. They'll pay, guys on Twitter to start, talking about certain projects, and they never work out. You got to stick with the value creators, and the cream of the crop value creators, they're quiet. They don't have to do a lot of marketing. So, that's what I do. I'm able to dig into the resource to figure out if it's feasible and if they're on an economic study on and determine true value. And then I just stick with, the value creators and the proven generators in the industry. Just stay away from the overly hyped stories.
Garrett, thanks so much for this time. If you can just give us your website and your handle and just how people can find you.
Yeah, cool. Goldenportfolio.com, at Garrett Goggin, GarrettGoggin. Right, I'm on Twitter a lot, or X.
Garrett, thanks so much for your time.
All right, cool. Thanks, Steve.